Hey everybody, it's Amanda. Welcome or welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast, the message podcast of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. We would love for you to experience a Sunday morning with us, or you can always connect with us on social media. We are Park Ridge Presby on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day. I was a junior in high school when I should have realized that my good intentions to help weren't always as good as I intended. I was on an international mission trip with my church youth group to Juarez, Mexico. It was the third time I had traveled to Juarez. And the year before, we had built a church for this community. And this year, we were sleeping in the church that we had built. That was pretty cool, right? And this year, we were finishing out some smaller construction projects. We were building a small Sunday school room in the back, framing that out. We were building a stage at the front for the pastor and the band to be on. There was painting. There was some landscaping. Oh, and a doghouse. That's right. We built a doghouse. And who do you think got assigned that job? This kid. And I was mad. I was mad because I came all the way here to help people. And building a doghouse did not feel like helping people. My friends were doing cool things like drywall and insulation, and I'm in the courtyard with a couple freshmen with the plans for a house for a husky. True story. I should have realized then that my good intentions weren't all that good if that's what made me mad. I never thought to ask why the church waited a whole year to finish their building until we, a bunch of teenagers, could come back the next year. I never thought to ask whether there was someone in the community, you know, with real construction skills, who could have been paid to build the stage or frame out the Sunday school room. I never asked why all the little kids that were around the church courtyard were hanging out with us instead of in school. I was just happy I learned how to play duck, duck, goose in Spanish. I never thought whether the husky really needed a house, a husky in Mexico, people, whether a husky really needed a house built by 2x4, or whether the pastor had just run out of stuff for our group to do, and he wanted to make us feel useful. The church I grew up in, they'd been sending groups on international mission trips for years with good intentions, hoping the kids would encounter a world very different than the North Shore they were growing up in, hoping that because of the opportunities and privileges they had growing up in the North Shore, maybe they would use their education and their connections and their resources to do something about the inequalities they experienced in Juarez. There are countless other churches with the exact same story, with the exact same good intentions. But either they didn't know how, or they were scared to know the answer to some of those questions about how we engage in serving people in the world. Whether you've ever been on a short-term mission trip and have had experiences like I did, I'm sure we all have experiences when our good intentions go bad. And that's exactly what we're going to be talking about for the next few weeks here at church. We're not just going to be talking about short-term mission. We're going to be talking about all kinds of ways that we as the church are involved in serving in our communities and around the world. We're going to get honest, a little uncomfortable, about some of our good intentions that don't always have good outcomes. But that doesn't mean we stop serving people, right? I was telling my dad what I was going to preach on. He's like, what do you want them to get out of this? Because I was setting up a lot of challenges. So we don't stop trying, but we can learn different ways of serving people. As Christians, we're still called to love people. God is very clear about that. But we can learn some different ways. So over the next few weeks, I hope this time together allows us to ask some better questions, and maybe we'll end up serving people in some better ways. I wanted to start off our series this month with these words from the Apostle John, because it's how I start every conversation with people about serving. This text comes from the first epistle written in Ephesus to the church of people who were already believing in Jesus. They were already a part of the community, but as churches do, we like to disagree about what's the most important thing. And so John was writing to kind of reiterate and reengage and re-inspire the community in the most important things as he saw it. And John reminds the community that we love because God first loved us. That's one of those central tenets that John wants the community to rally around. And whenever I'm preparing a group to go out and serve on a mission trip, maybe our teenagers remember this from a year ago when we talked about going on our first mission trip together, I always come back to these words because they have two foundational truths for us if we're going to go out and serve in God's name. And the first is, this first undeniable truth is that God's love is for us. John points us to the self-sacrificial love of Jesus on the cross as the ultimate expression of God's love. And since God loved us so much, we ought to love one another. If you have grown up in the church or around Christians, you've heard this all before. This is not new. But the reason I come back to it every time is that we need to start here. This needs to be our starting point. We need to remember that it is because of what God's already done and not because of some great idea or vision or problem we want to solve. We need to start with what God's done. You might be wondering, okay, well, so we go out and we love people, but how do we do that? What's really happening there? And that's where we get to this second foundational truth that I think we forget sometimes. It's hard for us to admit sometimes, which is that God's love is already in us. And it's the power of God's love that's working through us. It's not about us. We were just literally talking about this in confirmation a couple hours ago, that we don't really like to admit that things aren't about us and that we need God's help. And I think serving in mission is one of those things. We get something out of it, but we can't start there. We can't start with what's good for us. We start because God's love is for us, and God's love is already in us. And it's the power of that love that we get to point to, not our own. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God's love is in us. And it's his love that is perfected in us. So we have to start there. Being seen is really important, isn't it? Being seen and known for who we really are, being seen and known and then fully accepted for who we really are is really, really important, isn't it? If we're honest, it's what we all long for in every relationship, to be seen and known and fully accepted. And that's how God sees us. But do we see other people like that? Do we bring the same amount of grace and understanding and hope to the people that we're called to love? John gets a little blunt with us. He says, if we love God and don't love like that, don't love bringing grace and understanding and hope to the other people in our lives, then we're liars. It doesn't matter how good our intentions were. Now, I don't want to be a liar. I don't want our church to look like liars. So throughout this series, we're going to be inviting you and challenging you to show up in some different ways for our community so that we can be people who God's love works through. Through the power of God's love in us, that we might get changed from the inside out. That we might learn how to see people like God sees them. I think there's one way our good intentions go bad that we often don't recognize. And it's going to sound really, really small and insignificant, but in my life, it's had the power to reform how I actually see people. And it helps me see people like God does. And the way that this good intention goes bad is the way we sometimes talk about the people we want to help. I wonder, when you talk to your friends about Sunday night suppers being at our church, or the giving tree around the holidays, or sending your kid or grandkids or going on a mission trip, I wonder, when you talk about those things, do you use phrases like the poor and the hungry and the needy and the homeless? Of course you do. And I've heard it and I've seen it, and actually there's this little tag that was on the mission donation cart. You can't see it, but it says toiletries for the homeless. And it was the catalyst for me wanting to talk about this other way. I don't want to be condemning or convicting about some of the ways that we have talked about these groups that we try to serve, because I think sometimes that's the only language we're given, so it's what we use. But I want to maybe show us a different way. What if instead of talking about the poor, we talked about people living in poverty? What about instead of talking about the hungry, we talked about people experiencing food insecurity? The needy. Now, that one I just find ridiculous, because we all have needs, yes? And when you're describing a needy person in your life, you're not thinking of somebody in a food pantry line, right? Or at least I'm not. The needy people in my life, I'm thinking about something else. So we can't talk about the needy, because we all have needs. But we can talk about the basic human needs, the need for food and shelter and clothing and relationship that isn't being met. We can talk about people whose basic needs aren't being met. And then the last one, this one that inspired my little rant here on vocabulary, is the homeless. What if instead of the homeless, we talked about people experiencing homelessness? Can you hear the difference? Can you hear the difference in the language describing those two situations? The first list makes claims about identity, and the second makes descriptions about circumstances. And I think we have good intentions when we're trying to describe and help people understand what we're doing as a church and how we're trying to serve. We have good intentions. But I think sometimes what we don't realize we're doing is we're making a claim about someone's whole identity based on a description of their circumstances. And people are more than their circumstances. People are more than their life experiences. You are. I am. Our words here, they matter. I've never believed that words are just words. I've always believed that words have power, because words shape what we believe and how we engage in the world around us. So our words, when we're talking about this, I really think they matter. And in my experience, both in college and in graduate school, when I've been immersed in nonprofit organizations that are serving every day to try to meet these needs, this is some of the vocabulary they use. This is commonplace. And I think when we look at those two lists next to each other, one honors the dignity of people, that image of God, nature, that we believe as Christians is in everyone. And the other one, I think we unintentionally avoid. And we don't honor people with dignity. So it's become second nature for me to think in these terms. And I think if we could just change this one thing first, how we talk about the people we are trying to serve, I think it will shape how we actually interact with them, what we believe about the groups, right? And I think God is going to work in that. I think God works to shape our understanding of people that are different than us, to see them as God sees them. And here's why this is so important. And Pastor Josh is going to unpack this next week a little bit more, but this is why I think this is really important for our church right now in this moment. We have this opportunity and this responsibility for the group of people that's coming here in like 5 hours. The group of people that comes here for Sunday night suppers to gather for a shared meal, no questions asked, they deserve for us to come up with some better language. How our congregation and Park Ridge as a community, how we learn to talk about the guests who participate in Sunday night suppers, it matters. Our church has a responsibility to honor God and honor these guests in the language that we use, because that community deserves to be seen as more than their presenting needs. Our guests are more than their needs, just like you are more than yours. So here's the good news. God's love will continue to live in us and perfect us as we try to serve this community with good intentions. And come back next week to hear how God is using Sunday night suppers in particular to do just that. Amen. Hey, thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can subscribe to this podcast or find us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. We are at Park Ridge Presby on all platforms.